The following program was recorded on an earlier date for presentation at this time.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
It's checkerboard time.
Hello, my friends, how are you all? It's checkerboard time again. Urena's on the air. So come on, good friends everywhere, and listen in as we begin a feast of fun and fun. Just see the difference Urena makes and beat it right along.
Luckily, I wake up before I pee. Otherwise, you know, we would have to buy those little bed liners now. And maybe in the future, who knows? And I know Big Fatty wanted me to talk about the dream that I had many, many years ago. And this is the honest to God truth. I had this dream where Big Fatty is notorious. And forgive me, lovies, if you don't know about him. Big Fatty is notorious. And we've all seen them because he flashes them with pride, which is another, you know, it's just another avenue that his particular illness takes. He has enormous testicles. And I kid you not, this is a big old, you know, hanging scrote with big old disgusting balls. And he's an old man, so they're hanging lower every year. I had a dream where he was sitting on my bed in a pair of shorts, and I was sitting kind of like on his lap, except his legs were in a V. So I was kind of just sitting on his lap that way, but I was sitting on his testicles. There was nothing sexual about it at all, thank God. But I was just sitting on his testicles. I don't know why. Okay? I don't know why.
It's not just ruined, it's me, Big Fatty, online.
He has enormous testicles.
Yes! Well, hello, everyone. It is the Fat One, and this is episode 1260 of the BFO for Monday, the 26th of November, 2012. Y'all, coming up on today, say it with me. A little show. Oh my gosh, y'all, there's a ghost in the Fat Cave. Hello. Help me.
Really old people.
Hello, really old people. Hi, everyone. I hope your Monday is going well. Y'all, let me tell you, y'all, I have got the Vons.
Yo, hey.
With me again, and y'all, the Vons was just treated, and that is treated in quotation marks, to actually seeing me on the Goggle Plus do the opening of the little show, and I'm sure it was as horrifying for you as it is for everyone when they listen to it every day.
No, the only thing that is more terrifying than listening to the opening of your show is watching the opening of your show. But I will say that, you know, there are images that have burned into my brain that I will never get rid of, like that horrible picture of Vietnam with that poor man getting his head blown off by the gun, and that Buddhist monk setting himself on fire, and the opening of your show are all equally horrifying.
If there were a Look magazine, it would probably be on the cover, right?
Yeah, it would be the Zapruder film of 2012.
That's correct.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, y'all, the Vons is back. Big Fatty is on his way back to Chucktown, up Chuck, the Fat Cave, from Hatlanta. And y'all, I'm going to give you a full report as to what went on during the big Spanksgiving holiday. You finally got your house back to you.
Praise the Lord, Jesus.
Has the smell cleared?
No.
Or
no? What we did is we got six of the large cans of the flea bomb and set them off in the closed bedroom, and hopefully it will not only get rid of the lice, but it'll get rid of the stench.
Now, were they on the sofa bed?
Yes, the bed of terror, the rack. Now, I have to ask you, when you were, because you slept on the rack.
I did.
Did we have the mattress pad, the foam mattress pad for you?
No.
Or no, because we still had Vi, didn't we?
Yes, you did.
So it was still in Vi. They will have not only a little bit of help because you were sleeping directly on the rack of torture. They will have a little foam memory foam top that they
which I'm sure will disappear before your friend Scott shows up later.
Well, you know what's very sad about all of that is Scott is not coming this year, but it's a good reason. He's actually doing a play in New York, and so he won't be able to come out for his annual visit. So he will be working, basically, which is a good thing.
And do I hear a huge sigh of relief coming
Absolutely,
from
Absolutely, because I'm telling you, it's been like a triumphant of stank. There was you first, which I didn't think could get any worse. And then there's Digger and T-Wiggles, which I can't. There's no way to describe what the smell that was left in the room. And then always with Scott, it becomes the Jackson Pollock room because there's splatters of semen everywhere.
Right.
I don't know what he does in there, but it's a Jackson Pollock painting when he leaves.
Now, is Howard still shuddering in the corner from Digger's visit?
I have never seen such a traumatic reaction in an animal in my life, but if you even say the name around him, he yelps and then scoots his ass on the ground because he doesn't... He has this horrible post-traumatic stress thing going on. Yes. It's all the way across the carpet. The poor baby.
Poor baby.
Yeah.
So now at the beginning of today's little show, you talked about my testicles hanging down.
Yes.
Okay, and you know, I thought that would be a good opening.
The opening is a little south of the testicles.
Well, right, but uh-huh. I thought that'd be a good opening about let's just talk to folks because you know we were supposed to be talking about growing old these past two shows, but we really never got there a little bit, but not much. But anyway, what kind of things do you really notice or have you learned? Learned in your 56 and a half years that you just learn to have to live with, I guess.
Are you talking about physical stuff?
Well, whatever.
Well, an amazing thing happens the older that you get. There is an awful lot of resignation that happens. When you're young, you're fighting to change things, even things that are unchangeable. You're fighting to change them. I think the older that you get, the more you realize that there are certain things that are unchangeable, and so you relax into that resignation. And then you also start to pick your battles about things, and there's an awful lot of good resignation in that. So, yeah.
Very, very wise remarks.
I know I'm not just a pretty face, for Christ's sake. I've got some, you know.
Well, right. Well, I can guarantee you that you're not just
don't
a pretty
be hateful.
Face.
Do but not
don't
be hateful.
Don't be hateful.
No. So I appreciate that as part of the aging process because I think if you weren't able to let go of certain realities, you'd probably just be miserable beyond belief and go out of your mind. I mean, if I wasn't able to resign myself to certain facts, I'd never be able to look at myself in the mirror.
Right.
Because physically alone, what happens to you as you age, if looked at with stark reality, is terrifying.
Right.
But if you can say, you know, that's what 56 is, and you either live with it or you spend thousands of dollars to look like Joan Rivers, which is ridiculous.
Which I'd rather look 56.
Exactly. Or you let it be.
And I think that was really wise about choosing your battles. You know, you just go, you know, it's just not worth it.
Exactly.
And I said something to you about your parents, and the same applies to mine. Back when your dad's health was failing and things like that, and I made the comment that you know time passes so fast, and the old and y'all, it's true. The older you get, the faster it goes.
You're not going to believe it until you get old enough to see it fly by, but you won't believe it when you get to be a certain age that a year goes in a blink.
It really does. And I said to Vera, I said, yeah, and just imagine for our folks, they spend at their age, they're spending all of their life pressing on the brake pedal of life to really just slow it down.
Yep, exactly.
And I mean, granted, at our parents' age, they drive with their foot on the brake anyway. So.
Yes, the brake lights are always on.
Right, exactly. And now, one of the other things that that folks always say also is you become, you know, look closely at your parents because that's what you're gonna become. What's your feeling on that?
I think that there is some inevitability that you cannot change. And I'll give you an example.
Okay.
My father used to make a sound that would drive me absolutely fucking crazy. And it was this constantly clearing his throat. And what he would say is he felt like there was, you know, mucus or something that he needed to get up. And every time he did it, I wanted to take a machete to his throat and say, there, it's clear now. But all of a sudden, I'm sitting in bed probably 2 years ago, and I start going, and I went, oh, God, it's Dad. And then I went, oh, no, that was me making that sound. Well, and I continue to do it. What it is I'm sure genetically that my throat structure is probably the same as his because he was my father. And so I got that throat structure, and whatever happens with the phlegm that you want to get up that doesn't come up right away, you have to make that sound continually in order to feel better. So those inevitabilities you turn into your parents, I think.
And what you just said is applying to me now because sometimes I will hear myself. It's like I step away from what's actually happening, and I can see or hear myself doing something and go, oh my gosh, I am exactly the same as somebody that I used to give a hard time to because they were old and they did that.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, whereas I'm sure it'll eventually get to the point where I don't even realize I'm doing that.
I realize I can
step away mentally or, you know, and hear or see myself doing it and go, oh my God, it's happening.
I think that there are physical inevitabilities of becoming your parents because of the genes. You look down at your hand and you'll either say, oh my God, that's my mom's hand or my dad's hand. Or you'll look at your face and say, I've got my dad's eye bags, you know, whatever. There's also learned experiences. One of the hideous traits, and my father had some great ones, but a lot of hideous ones. One of the hideous traits that my father had was that he was a very impatient teacher. And if he was trying to explain something and you didn't get it right away, he would become very impatient and very aggressive at you. Gooch is more computer retarded than I am. And you'd think that he'd have to be an amoeba in order to be more computer retarded than I am.
I would think that.
Right. So okay. And he's trying to, and it would, in other things, it would be true, but he really is less capable. And so he's trying to figure out things on Facebook and stuff like that. And he'll ask me a question and I'll answer him. I say, no, you do that. And no, you don't click there. You click. And all of a sudden I'm treating him in trying to teach him something. I'm treating him like my father treated me. And I will stop midway and go, holy fuck, that's the stuff that drove me insane. That's the stuff, you know, that's the stuff that crippled me. And yet I am perpetuating that. So I think to answer, I know you're waiting to speak and this is long-winded.
No, you're fine.
To answer your question, I think that there are inevitable things that happen to you with age that turn you into the people that you genetically came from. And there's also learned behaviors.
And do you find yourself becoming short-fused or that angry old man that, get off my lawn, you young whippersnappers?
Yeah.
That things that shouldn't bother you just are like, God.
Well, it's an amazing dichotomy because what I just said earlier about resignation and understanding what happens with age, There's also an increased impatience with things that you're constantly battling. And just you know, you should fucking know that. Also, an impatience, I find I have an impatience with myself if I'm not, if I can't find the word. You know, I used to get so angry at my mother because she would say, and that's why we named our first dog Hoonie. Because my mother would say, she would, let's, for example, honey, I want that coffee mug over there. My mother would go, Vera, get me the Hoonie. And I would say, what are you, what? You know, the Hoonie. And she would get very frustrated with me because I didn't know that she meant coffee mug when she was saying Hoonie. Well, I used to think, you know, it's my mom because she's been wacky her whole life and still is wacky. You know, this is part of my, well, you know what? Guess what? I'm looking at a coffee mug and going, I need that, the Hoonie. I can't think of coffee mug. I can't, when I do my show, I want to say the most perfect word and it's gone. So I have to do a synonym real fast that never is good.
But, you know, it used to frustrate the hell out of me that I couldn't remember that kind of stuff. And to me, that's one of the things that I've resigned myself to, the fact that I just, you know, you think that I remember everything.
Here's what I know that you do remember. And we've talked about this before. You remember things about people. You remember their names and their stories. And I don't. I don't know, and I'm not going to name names here because I'll get myself in trouble.
Right.
But you will say, Chesapeake Frank, how's your knee? Because you were running and you fell over and then you were in the hospital for 6 weeks, and then your kids came over and gave you that big plate of spaghetti. How was it? I don't even fucking remember who Chesapeake Frank was.
You don't, but none of that ever comes back to you?
Only if I have had repeated contact, stuff. I don't remember that Chesapeake Frank has two kids. I know Chesapeake Frank has written me two or three times, and I know that, okay, Chesapeake Frank, yeah, there's a Chesapeake Frank, but I don't remember, I just don't, and you have a gift for that. You have a gift for remembering people, for remembering their stories. I barely remember to get out of bed before I shit. I mean, that I'm happy if I do that, you know, just get up and go to the bathroom before you release. And if I can do that, I'm happy.
And so is Gooch.
Yes, very much so.
Now, what do you find yourself that you don't remember what's current, you know, short-term memory, and you remember shit like from your childhood, like it was the back of your hand, or is it just everything?
Well, I remember I have never had a very good memory of my early childhood. I have certain events that have stuck in my head, but not a life. I don't remember a real life. So it isn't like I've remembered or lost that. And short-term memory, it depends on how short term. Oh my goodness. That could mean only one thing.
You know what?
I forgot what it is, though.
Right. You know, I you now know why I have this music at the end of the show? To remind me that it's time to shut the fuck up. Okay? So, Vera, thank you so much for being on these three shows with me. And I hope everybody has enjoyed them. And tell everybody how they can listen to the Walnut Hill Show.
If anybody wants to hear any more of me after all of this nonsense, they can find me at veraspeaks.com.
And Vera, any last words?
He has enormous testicles.
Just that it's been that was you saying I have enormous testicles.
You can leave a comment on the website at bigfattyonline.com, and you don't have to use the www, or drop me an e-letter at ruined@bigfattyonline.com, or call the voice letter number at 206-337-1438. That's 206-337-1438, and give me your good, gosh, and gay. Me! This has been a presentation of the RNL Podcasting Network.